Welcome, everyone, to this week's edition of Inside Harvard Football. It is, I love to say this every year because of the schedule, the penultimate edition of Inside Harvard Football. And, of course, that means the opponent in the next to last week of the season for the Crimson is the Penn Quakers coming up. And we cherish our time with Tim and Coach Tim Murphy getting ready to join us here as we'll talk about what happened in New York City and what the Crimson expect to happen at the stadium on senior day this week. Coach, as we welcome you in, we welcome the fact that you have held strong to first place here. Sole possession of the first place with 2 weeks to go in the Ivy League race at 4-1. And what a tight race it is when you consider the fact the Crimson have got themselves just a little bit of distance at 4-1. But in the rearview mirror, not one, two, three, four teams all with two losses. We've talked about parity longstanding, Coach, with our relationship covering Harvard football, but it just seems that in a league that's been defined by defense this year, it is maybe tighter. I mean, you got a better answer than me. It seems like it's been tighter than ever, the margins in this league this season. Just incredible.
No question about it, Bernie. And this is a good week to acknowledge that. It speaks to the parity of the Ivy League when you consider, like you said, there's four teams still in the hunt, maybe five teams still in the hunt for the Ivy Championship. Our goal, obviously, is to clinch the championship against arguably the best team we have played this year in the University of Pennsylvania. But one game at a time, one rep at a time, because Penn's an outstanding football team. If you look at their metrics, they're second in the Ivy League in total defense, they're second in the Ivy League in total offense, which puts them metrically, you know, at the top of the league. They are the top two-way team. So we will certainly have a tiger by the tail. Not that that's their name or their moniker.
Right, that's right. But a Quaker. You know,
this is definitely the best football team that we've played this year. Mm-hmm. Most complete team.
And we will look ahead. We'll talk a little bit more about Penn to define this week. Last week, the Road Warriors that this team has become, 11-2 on the road, is a pretty remarkable number since the end of the 2019 season, Coach. And the beat went on in the tip of Upper Manhattan last week on the trip to New York City with the Crimson prevailing 38-24 at Columbia. Jumped early with big plays, Coach. None bigger than the little bit of an adjustment that Jaden Craig made to create a big play to Tim Dowd, who's had an outstanding year as your H-back, tight end, hybrid, slot man. That was a huge play to get the Crimson offense ignited.
Well, to your point, Bernie, we've been a very good road team with this senior class all the way through back to their freshman year. And if you count the win down against Princeton there, it would be 12-1.
Correct.
But be that as it may, I thought we did a good job, took care of business, and, you know, we came out of the gate, you know, and eventually kind of cruised to a 31-7 halftime lead. It all starts with defense, and, you know, if you give up only 7 points with your first defense, you got a pretty good chance of winning the game. I think the biggest change, though, for us was having a balanced offense. Made that a priority, that we're going to have a balanced offense, and to come out and, you know, with a kid in his first start, Jaden Craig, a sophomore first start at quarterback, you know, he goes 13 for 18, 250 yards and a touchdown, and probably to some extent exceeded our expectations. And obviously the poise he showed and the really great protection we had on the sort of broken play to Timmy Dowd. Tim did a great job keeping himself open, and then took it about 80 yards to the house. And Tim has done a tremendous job, you know, as a tight end, H-back, and, you know, he's probably had as good a season as anybody in the league at that position.
Big play on offense to set the tone, and then it was an even bigger play from the special teams. Caleb Moody, I guess there's no jinx to be profiled on Inside Harvard Football. He was my interview last week. Enjoyed talking to Caleb, local Boston guy. We had a lot in common. And blocked punts, third of his career. I don't know if Mike Giardi and I talked about it. Could you call it a block? I don't even know if you could call that a block punt. It was more of a catch. He just seemed to just swallow the ball up and then take it to the end zone.
Well, to your point, Bernie, our special teams, led by Ryan Crawford, our special team coordinator and our secondary coach. You know, it's done a terrific job with that group. But, you know, Caleb had a maybe once-in-a-lifetime sort of triple crown here. You know, he had two interceptions. One of them, you know, just crazy, made the ESPN's top two, a block punt, touchdown for special teams. But Caleb is one of the most improved guys on our team. He didn't come into our program, you know, as a super highly recruited kid. It's just a kid that we felt had a lot of character and a lot of potential. And he's now reached that potential and become a very important player for us on the back end and on special teams.
You talk about the balance. That was in evidence on the third scoring drive for the Crimson. It was a 12-play, 68-yard drive, very efficient. That ended with a Cannavale field goal. But the balance was in evidence. Shane McLaughlin, with 89 yards on the ground, took it to the end zone twice from short yardage. And Craig also showing his running ability and adding 34 yards. Different look than DePriemer in terms of his running. At 230 pounds, he's almost like more of a, you said last week, no fullbacks anymore, but almost like a fullback mode when he's coming at you with that, with 230 pounds in that frame.
Yeah, he reminds us in terms of what we talked about, you know, his physical stature and ability and size is very similar to the Sluker kid, the outstanding quarterback that we faced for 3 years at Holy Cross, who was up for the top, was up before he got hurt, for the top of sort of Heisman Award for FBS Division One. We think Jaden has a very bright future. We're very impressed in his first start, how, you know, making the good reads, playing with poise, and still giving us, you know, a multi-dimensional quarterback. So the kids certainly have a chance. He'll be tested by an even better defense this week, so it should be interesting. But all things considered, we're very happy with our quarterback situation.
He was really impressive, Coach, in terms of delivering the ball with authority. And I know you and I, we talk about the evaluation of quarterbacks is making all the throws. And he had to come up with a variety of throws to be effective in the offense on Saturday, and seemed to handle all of them with great poise.
He sure did, Bernie. It seemed very natural to him, and he kind of lasers that in. There's not a lot of hang time. You know, he can really spin it, and that has given our receivers a chance to get some yards after the catch. And I think the sum total of things is, you know, it's going to be one game at a time in his development, but I don't think we could have asked much more of a sophomore quarterback playing his first college football game.
On the defensive side, not to be outdone, as you mentioned, just 10 points allowed essentially by the first defense. We profiled Thor Griffith this week. He was our interview this week for here on Inside Harvard Football. Big day from Thor, 7 tackles, 2 for a loss, a huge sack on a third down play that forced Columbia to a field goal to make it 24-10 at that point. Thor, it's been a little bit of a different experience. I talked to him about it this week, Coach. In terms of the amount of attention that he has attracted this year, it's, I think, really kind of siphoned and funneled plays to other members of the defense. Oftentimes, he's getting double and sometimes attracting attention to maybe 3 opponents.
Yeah, there's no question that that was predictable, that people are going to have to double-team him whenever they can at point of attack and certainly in pass pro. And, you know, that can be frustrating for anybody in that position. But, you know, he's one of those guys that still finds a way to make plays. Very explosive. You know, he may be 300 plus pounds and obviously a very strong kid, but you know, he's very explosive in the confines of what a defensive tackle can do and should do. But his first 3 steps are really explosive, and you know, he's also has a little bit more of a book in terms of things he can go to. You know, he can beat you with brute strength on the double team, or he can pass rush you, swim you, and, you know, he has certain moves he has to break double teams in the run game too. But, yeah, he draws a lot of attention, and that makes the guys around him better as well.
Overall, the sum of the parts for the defense, 3 sacks, 6 tackles for a loss, the 2 interceptions by Moody, and 4 quarterback hurries. That's something that you can live with most days, Coach. And the secondary has been hit hard. It's been an area that's been, seems like every year there's one unit that maybe gets hit harder than others in terms of the injury bug and so forth. It has been the secondary for you. But how about the way the guys have stepped up? Case in point, Phil Smitherman, He had the big INT the week before. 8 tackles, led the way with 7 solos. He's a guy that's emerged when you've really need him with Garrett Sharp out of the lineup.
Well, there's no question. We've had to juggle some guys with Garrett Sharp out, without AJ Lopez out. Coach Prophet has had to really juggle that group, and we didn't think it was an exceptionally deep group going in, but, you know, with guys like Phillip Smitherin, with some of our freshmen who have played, we've managed to, keep our finger in the dike and hopefully be able to, play the high level of football we need to play to win a championship. But those guys have done a terrific job, starting with the coaching piece, and the kids have really stepped up. That's what our expectations are, but you never know. So far, so good.
And a word here, we've said a few words about him going back to the beginning of the year, and your expectations were rather unusual for a true freshman, but man, as it played out. Damian Henderson, the number of snaps that he's played, the high-pressure situations that he's been in. Once again, I got to use the word poise in terms of how he's handled that position out on that island at the corner position, Coach. And Damian has really rose to the occasion for you, and particularly of late.
Yeah, he's got a great football IQ for such a young player, and part of that is coaching, and part of that he just has an act. And whether you put him as the nickel, as the fifth guy in the game, or you put him at the field corner or boundary corner, he's played at a very high level. He's one of those kids that doesn't say a whole lot, but he takes it all in. Like I said, he's got a high football IQ, and he's very competitive. And it's not often that you can compete for a championship when you have a freshman in your secondary.
That has been the case. Once again, with the victory, the Crimson at 4-1 to assert control in the Ivy race, which is chaotic and could get out of control quickly. You gave a little bit of a snapshot about this Penn team. On the offensive side for the Penn team, this kid Hosley, Malachi Hosley, the freshman, he had a season last week with 261 yards, 2 touchdowns. Was there familiarity with him going back to even the recruiting process? Is that a guy that you knew about? Because obviously he's been extremely impactful with the way that he's played down the stretch.
Yeah, we knew about him. I can't say much more than that in the process, but they've obviously recruited an outstanding young player, and it certainly has helped to balance them, because they had been a very pass-heavy offense, and the ability to balance that has made it much more challenging in terms of preparing for this offense. But I don't think there's any question that this is the best offense we will see all year. No question about it.
Mentioned number 2 in the Ivy League on the offensive side. Best offense, and the defense comes with portfolio in terms of the number of playmakers there at all levels, Coach. Logan Nash, Joey Slackman, they got a little healthier there with getting some folks back recently. Your thoughts there as you get ready to attack this defense? I would assume that balance is going to have to be the key for you in order to try to be able to move the ball and keep these guys off balance.
Yeah, there's no question, Bernie, that this is the best defense we've faced this year. And, it all starts with the guys up front. Their defensive line is tremendous, especially their 2 inside guys who are 200-300-poundish guys who have started for 3 years. And, you've got to be able to find a way to run the football against that really impressive front 4. They've, again, moved up to the top of the league in terms of their balanced defense. And if you can't sort of keep them honest with throwing the football, and they're going to really, really be able to counter in on the running game and stop the running game. So, yeah, we've got to do what we did last week, and we've got to be able to mix it up, and we've got to be able to make them up front defend every gap. We got to be able to run the ball on the perimeter. We got to be able to run the ball right at them. We got to be able to run the RPOs. Mm-hmm. We certainly have to be able to do the play-action pass piece. So a big week for the offensive line, big week for the offense, and big week for our young quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And on the defensive side, as far as defending, saying the quarterback, it seems like, yes, all of a sudden he's discovered a new weapon in terms of being able to exhibit the running game. their success really has been through the air. They've got some great targets that have had some big years for them. When you look at Richardson and some of the guys they have at the wide receiver position that I'm sure are going to present some issues for you that you're going to have to match up with.
Yeah, they're relatively young, which is surprising for how exceptional they've been throwing football, Bernie, but it's a relatively young receiving core. The three top guys are all sophomores, and they're all very good, but I'd rather they be sophomores than they be three seniors. So hopefully we can, hopefully we can control those guys and do it without, allowing too much in the run game. But, yeah, there's a reason they're here. There's a reason they're number two, and there's a reason they're in the Ivy League hunt. This will be a very challenging game for both teams. I know we'll be prepared. You know, we've talked about as a staff and as a team that we control our own destiny. How do you control your own destiny? You just focus on the task at hand. If it's Wednesday or it's Thursday like today, our goal is just to have a great Thursday practice, and then we go from there.
Looking to a great crowd, hopefully, at the stadium on Saturday. I think this season's really been defined by some great crowds. The Friday Night Lights games have been a festive atmosphere, a lot of energy. The Fall Fest with 22,000 against Dartmouth, I think that should be, I'm sure it's been very heartening for you, Coach, to see how Crimson Nation has turned out to support this team. And hopefully more of the same here on Saturday, because it will be senior day in the final home game. You've turned that home record around very nicely this year to go a perfect 5-0 thus far.
Yeah, we've had a tremendous following this year, and I think a lot of people are responsible for that. You know, we've had great organization in terms of Harvard Athletics, making sure that it's a really good game day environment in terms of creating sort of festive opportunities around the campus and around the stadium. We're not going to necessarily have the luxury of that this week, but at the end of the day, you know, whether we've got, 8,000 or 28,000, I know our kids are going to play really hard, and I know whatever fans are there are going to certainly get their money's worth.
And I got to ask you for just a final word, because of kind of the whole unique aspect of how he came to Harvard and came to be noticed by you and had the opportunity. But the fact that I did get to profile, as I call him, the mighty Thor Griffith this week, it is quite an odyssey for him to have come to Harvard and become this this impactful player that he has been on your defense over the course of his career. It's a pretty remarkable story overall, Coach. I'd be remiss if I didn't give you a chance to comment one more time on Thor here.
Yeah, Thor's recruitment was sort of a unique thing. He wasn't one of those kids that the FBS or FCS or the Ivy League, for that matter, was a highly rated recruit, coming out of his junior year. And I think the reality is that we had an opportunity to sort of see what he could do metrically during one of our camps prior to his junior year. He wasn't quite there yet. It's kudos to him. He wanted to come to Harvard in the worst way, and he recruited us. He recruited me. Went through so many iterations of what he'd done as a young kid, including being, one of the top hockey players in the country as a 12-year-old, to being New Hampshire State wrestling champion as a 17-year-old, now 275 pounds, and he's just one of those guys that kind of wore us down in the process and said, you know what, there's something about this kid beyond his name. And, he's made us look good by, his intense spirit in terms of finding a way to get to the Ivy League, finding a way to get to Harvard, and then making the most of the opportunity. It's a great country.
It indeed it is. Do you have any insight on his samurai collection?
No, I don't. It somehow doesn't surprise me. I'll just leave it at that.
Okay. We'll save that to the off season, Coach. We'll give you a little insight. I'll let you know what I found out. It was like peeling an onion.
It's a big onion.
It's a massive onion, exactly. And final word here is senior day is always special. It's emotional, the last home game for a group of seniors. But for this group of seniors that came in during a pandemic, I would say you comment on that these guys had an unusual amount of adversity to be able to work their way through for the Harvard football experience that you've shared with them. I'm sure that there's really, I would say, dare I say it, a special bond with you, with this group, the class of 24 that came in a pandemic situation in the fall of 20?
Well, it certainly is unique when you consider it, you know, the only time in the last 100 years or so, other than World War II, you know, that basically you didn't play football. For these kids, they've made this senior year. You know, they've worked so hard to get us where we are today. We've had great leadership from that group, starting with our captain, Nate Leskovic, guys like Thor Griffith that we spoke to many times. But it's a special class on many levels, and obviously there's nothing we would want more for them than for them to achieve an Ivy League championship. And it's been a great week. Kids have been very focused, and they're not focused on what's going to happen on Saturday. They're focused on what's going to happen today in terms of having a good day today. And the more good days we have in preparation, the better off we're going to play on Saturday. So big game. I believe our kids are up to it. Everybody's excited. And, again, the only goal we have for today on Thursday is to really have a great preparation practice for this outstanding Penn team.
Well said, Coach, as always. Thanks so much for the time. Appreciate it. And look forward to seeing you down on field level and having a chance to say hello on Saturday. I think we're all excited. I'm very excited for the challenge this week.
Thanks very much, Bernie. Have a great radio call.
Our time with Tim here this week, as always, getting ready for the Penn Quakers' visit to the stadium on Saturday here on Inside Harvard Football. Bernie Corbett, pleased to be joined once again on the defensive side. We certainly brought some luck to Caleb Moody, who had such a great day for the Crimson last week. We're going to stay on the defensive side with one of the longtime mainstays of the Harvard defensive unit. He has been honored by the league. He's been honored nationally. And his career coming down to the stretch to its final games as a member of the Crimson, certainly hoping that there's going to be an Ivy League ring and an Ivy League title, maybe an undisputed Ivy League title is the goal at the end of it all in 2 weeks. And it is my pleasure to bring with us, as I call him on the broadcast, the mighty Thor, Thor Griffith, the senior defensive tackle out of Portsmouth, New Hampshire. Thor, welcome to the show. Great to have you with us here today.
Thanks for having me, Bernie.
Well, Thor, it's been, I think, kind of a unique, if you will, career for you and your classmates because of the presence of COVID early on. Now here you are with 2 games left in your senior season, a chance this week to get a piece of the Ivy title, and a chance hopefully the following week for an undisputed Ivy League title. As you look back on all of it, what are some of the things that really kind of immediately come to mind? I know maybe a little bit of reflection here as you get to the end of your career at Harvard.
Yeah, I mean, I just got to go back to freshman year where we were getting up every day at like 5 a.m., going to the facilities, working out 6 days a week, conditioning, lifting, doing agility work, and then just going from that all the way till now where I only have, you know, 2 games left. And I went from just being like a kind of a newbie, a freshman, not really knowing my place here, to being, you know, one of the biggest parts of this team. It's, you know, it's really been an honor.
Well, indeed, and you've certainly honored all in Crimson Nation with your play, and right from your sophomore season when you had such a big impact all the way through presently. As you look at this particular season, and I've just been amazed, it's been remarkable, the continued depth on the defensive line for the Crimson. I remember talking to Coach Murphy at the beginning of the year and saying, well, you know, you lost some key guys from the defensive line. Certainly have some key guys back with you and Leskovic and some of the more experienced guys in that defensive line. But still, the depth factor to keep all the horses fresh and to be able to shuttle, as Coach Murphy does, to keep fresh defensive linemen on the field to be able to disrupt and get after the passer and stop the run. You've been part of that right at the top of that rotation and really part of a unit that I'm sure has got great camaraderie there with your defensive line.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's great. I mean, like we always say, like, the team's a brotherhood, but I feel like the D-line in itself is a brotherhood within that brotherhood. We're all so close, and it's like, I know in some of the position groups, there's the guys who pretty much they play the whole game, and some of the guys on the like second or third strings, they don't really get that playing time. But for us, it's like the guys who are on the second, third string, they're playing almost as much as the guys in the first line. So it's like we all have to be locked in every single week. We all have to be ready to go, and I feel like it's a little, our position room, it's just a little, the environment's a little different than everyone else, and I just feel it, line. It was because we've all been locked in every single game.
Certainly have, and had a big impact week in and week out. Part of that, I'm sure, is Coach Johnson and being able to work with him. Can you give us some perspective on what it's like to have been under his tutelage for the last four seasons?
Yeah. So, like, with Coach Hernan and Coach Johnson, I mean, I don't really work too much with Coach Johnson since he works more with the DNs.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, that's right. You're on the inside. Yep.
Yeah. And I mean, he does a lot of stuff. Coach O mostly does a lot of the run blocking stuff. Coach Johnson does more of the pass rush stuff for us. But, I mean, it's been great, really just kind of learning, starting off just learning the schemes and then really just kind of perfecting the techniques that they've given us and really understanding our place, or at least by place, mm-hmm. within, like, the greater picture of the defense has really been great. And it's kind of, those two really expanded my knowledge of football itself, so it's been awesome.
And it seems like your role this season, Thor, you've attracted so much attention, and you've really freed up opportunities for a number of other members of the defensive line. How have you managed that in terms of facing double, I guess sometimes triple teams on teams that have tried, and I stress the word tried, to contain you and allow you to be less disruptive? You've still been pretty disruptive this season.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, I pretty much get used to it. I expected. I know, like, in the pass rush, they're going to be sliding two, three guys to me. In the run, they're going to be doubling me, because if they leave me one-on-one, I'm going to be getting that TFL. So, like, it's to be expected. And, I mean, the more focus that they put on me, the less they have on other guys. So that just allows my teammates to get those sacks, those TFLs, those tackles, and it makes us as a D-line more effective overall. So,
particularly strong the last couple of weeks with the Crimson bouncing back from the one setback that they've had this season. Just once again, perspective for you and how the defense rallied to hold to Dartmouth without a touchdown. And then last week, of course, the job that you did against Columbia was flat-out dominant.
Yeah, I guess the biggest thing we're all saying was it was very after the Princeton week, it was very reminiscent of 2021. We went down, we were undefeated, went down there, lost. And then after that, we ultimately lost to Dartmouth. So our biggest focus was to make sure that mm-hmm. doesn't repeat itself. And we just kind of, as a defense, kind of said to ourselves, hey, we can't mingle on. Like, sure, it sucks that we lost. We won't have that undefeated record. But, hey, we can't let that weigh us down or hold us back. We have another opponent coming up. And we just kind of put that in the past and just move forward with it. And I felt like that's been really effective for us. And that Prince loss kind of just made us better, because we realized then that, hey, any of these teams we're playing, they can beat us if we don't fully lock in and just do our job. So I feel like it was almost like a blessing in disguise at that point.
Yeah, it's, what do they say, Thor? Experience is a hard teacher. And for you guys that are veterans on the team, I think what you can impart to some of the guys that are new to the program is exactly that. And it seems like the message has been received, because of the disappointment of what happened with the Princeton game, well documented from 2 years ago. But really, that follow-up against Dartmouth was really kind of that hangover against Dartmouth was the one that really hurt.
Yeah. I remember 2021, that game, that was – everyone on the whole team was still kind of just not really themselves, just because, like, that was such a big loss. And the way that it happened with the poor officiating, it was tough on all of us. And, yeah, we just didn't want that to happen again. So we just, like, kind of – almost overdid it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You can't really overdo preparation, you know, so it was good.
Just to give us, once again, some insight about you and playing the position that you play on the inside, technique, and are there guys that you maybe look, I don't know how close you look at the pro level, but are there guys that you might look at as maybe some of the dominant guys in the NFL that you can maybe take a little bit of their game and make it part of your game?
Yeah, I mean, there's two players that I really, like, I have been looking at since high school, really. So Aaron Donald and then Ndamukong Suh. Like, I know, like, body-wise, I'm a little closer to Ndamukong Suh than Aaron Donald, but I try to just take things and pieces of their game and try to implement it into mine just so I can improve. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I feel like just watching those guys breaking down their tape, it's really been helpful.
And there is a technique to it, too. And I'm always fascinated when I talk to guys that play certain positions. I mean, to the more casual observer, sometimes it can just look like a scrum out there. But There really is. There's moves, there's techniques, there's spin, there's an artistry to it, there's a little bit of a ballet to it.
Yeah, definitely.
In terms of how you play it. And I just love watching you play because you do see those elements of the skill that goes with the raw power.
Yeah, no, I feel like that's kind of like what has really improved for me over these past 4 years. It's just kind of like that, it's like technique. Because in high school, I was just strength. I didn't really have too much technique. I had a little, but mm-hmm. Yeah, just really refining my, like, especially like my run blocking techniques, my pass rush moves, and just everything else, just like making sure all the little details are there. That's what I think has really elevated me these past few seasons.
Mention about high school and your background there, if people have not explored it, and I knew a little bit more about you personally because of the fact that your family has roots here in my hometown in Stoneham. So, as a matter of fact, with your aunt having gone to high school with me, all the way back to grade school with me, as a matter of fact. But two-time All-State performer at Portsmouth High School, and also outstanding, and I do mean outstanding, All-American and captain of the wrestling team. Wrestling was another sport that I think when you sent your tape to Harvard, there was some... There was some wrestling clips on there too, just to be able to display some of your dominance and your strength.
Oh yeah, yep. Wrestling has really been, I think it really did help in my development as a football player.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, learning the different leverage points, how like a person's body moves, like how you, when you push them this way, how do they react? It just kind of like using all that knowledge of like leverage and strength and twisting all that and putting that onto the football field has really been a game changer for me. And then also just the mental toughness being in a wrestling match, 6 minutes straight pretty much, is you and another guy, and it's just let the best man win. And then just kind of having that mentality of never giving up and just keep pushing until you win. I've also used that in games when things have gotten tough. Maybe we're behind or it's a close game and the defense needs to stop. And just making sure my mind never wavers, I think, wrestling has really like built that into me. So,
yeah, absolutely, that'll definitely ingrain itself. And there's few sports that are like that, Thor, where it's really the true mano a mano. You think of wrestling, you think of boxing, you think of tennis in its own way, where it's just you're really on an island out there. There's nobody else. You can't point the finger at anybody except look in the mirror.
Yeah.
Nobody's fault but your own. Exactly. You know.
Yeah.
Important. You also excelled, not surprisingly, track and field with a couple of events. Did you enjoy that experience going back to high school? I think you did shot put and discus with some great achievement.
Yeah. I think track for me was kind of like the one sport in high school where I wasn't like as focused on. Like I did it because I enjoyed it, but I knew I didn't really have a future in it. But that was probably like some of the most fun times I had in high school, throwing shot, throwing disc. So, honestly, it didn't really have too much of an effect on me as a football player.
Mm-hmm.
It was definitely an enjoyable experience.
And you gravitated, once again, because I've got a little insight about you that a lot of people don't, but you gravitated towards football eventually. But truth be told, and this really amazed me when I found it out going back a couple of years ago, you played hockey, and you were a top hockey prospect growing up, and then at some point you just kind of left hockey behind and concentrated on other sports. Was that pretty much it?
Yeah. I played hockey for so long, and I felt like it was time for something new. And then I picked up football, kind of just fell in love with it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here now.
Yeah, so fell in love with it all the way to Cambridge, exactly.
Yeah.
It worked out pretty good. And and also the recruiting process. I remember I got Coach Murphy's take on this, but give me your take on the recruiting process and I guess how you came to Harvard as much as Harvard came to you to make them aware of the fact that, hey, there's this guy up in Portsmouth, New Hampshire that's a pretty good athlete that wants to come to Harvard. He might help you.
Yeah. After my before my junior season, I went to a couple different, I went to the Harvard camp and like the BC camp. And I didn't really know what was going on. I didn't do too well. And then after my junior season, I had a pretty good season. I kind of like realized what they're looking for at these camps. And I realized that college scouts weren't going to be seeing me from a small town in New Hampshire. So I had to send out all my film. I sent my film to a whole bunch of different coaches. Only a few of them, including Coach Murph, got back to me. And ever since Coach Murph got back back to me after I sent them some hockey videos, some wrestling, some me working out by highlight tape. We were in contact for that summer after, or the winter and stuff after the season. That summer I showed up to camp. I did real well. I did well on the all the testing and stuff. Mm-hmm. Some of the coaches were still not really too sure of me, but Coach Murphy took a chance, and you know, they gave me my first and only D1 football offer. Mm. And then I just took it and ran with it.
And was Harvard always a place that, you know, once again, being a pretty highly motivated and successful student, was Harvard always a place that you maybe had on your radar screen, like, man, if I ever got an opportunity to go there, I'm not going to pass it up?
Yeah, no, Harvard was definitely a school that I always wanted to go to. Mm. I mean, yeah, just like in the recruiting process, I thought it was going to be a long shot to get there, but it was definitely like one of the, probably the top school that I did want to go to.
Well, that's always great when you get your number one choice and you've made the most of it to the point that you have over the course of your career. Winding down this week and business at hand, Penn, Coach Murphy talked about this is going to be, well, I guess you get to this time of year, you can't be surprised. Biggest challenge that the team is going to face on both sides of the ball. I know Coach Murphy's very impressed with this Penn team. As you're getting ready for Penn, your thoughts here for big game, senior day, final home game for you and your class at the stadium with a lot on the line.
Yeah, it's going to be a good game. I've watched some of the film on them. They're definitely a tough team, and you know, but we're going to be ready. We're going to outwork them. We're going to out-prepare them like we do every single team, or at least we try to do to every single team. And we're just going to give it everything we got because we got two games, and if we win both, we're the outright champs, which is something that this program hasn't had for a long time. So We know we got a lot riding on our shoulders, so but we're ready to perform to our best.
And as a personal note, I know from your bio, and I'm sure people would be interested to know, not surprisingly, some of your hobbies that you've talked about, weightlifting, not surprising for guys that have watched you, anybody that's watched you play, but exotic fish is an interest. You have an array of exotic fish that you have. Do you have a tank with exotic fish in your room at Harvard or back at home or both?
Well, I don't have a tank anymore. I did for a while. I had a cichlid tank. I had some South American cichlid, some Jack Dempsey, some other fish in there. At Harvard, I did have a tank with some shrimp and a betta fish, because that's kind of the only, like, size tank. It was like a 10-gallon tank. That's the biggest I can really go in a room here. But unfortunately, when I was moving back home for the summer, the tank cracked, like, on the way back, and all the water drained out. So, unfortunately, it died, so... Yeah, I think I'll just be waiting until I graduate before I pick up that hobby again, which I do look forward to.
Right. You can pick up on that again, indeed. And you're also a Star Wars enthusiast, not unusual. You'd have millions might cite that as a hobby, but samurai history is a little bit more esoteric. And what about your interest in samurai history, and how did that come about?
Honestly, back in, I think, my sophomore or freshman year of high school, there's this documentary on it and on Netflix. So ever since then, you know, I've been slacking a little since, but I've been always been interested in that, and then just kind of done my own like research here and there on it.
A true Renaissance man, Mr. Thor Griffith. Not surprising, with some of your multi and varied interests there and pursuits. Well, the pursuit this week is going to be pursuing the Penn quarterback, the running backs, and the rest of that Penn offense for you and the defense. And be able to answer that call. I know you guys will be ready and hungry and a chance once again. Hopefully it'll be another great crowd. I'm sure you guys have noticed, Thor, 22,000 against Dartmouth, great crowds for the night games earlier in the year. It's been one of the best years, I think, attendance-wise in the 25 years I've broadcast Harvard football. I put it right at the top of the list. It's been great, the crowd atmosphere.
Oh, yeah, it's really been phenomenal. We got one of the guys on the team who's running is kind of like the student section, mm-hmm. like Instagram page for us, and that's really helped out, kind of like bringing out all the students there. And I know like the guys up in the head office, they've been putting in a lot of work, so it's been phenomenal, not just for the student body, but for all of us on the team, just kind of playing in front of all of our fans in such a great atmosphere. So it's been really awesome this year.
And what about your study story, your concentration at Harvard? What has been your academic pursuit?
I've been studying econ.
Econ, okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And and beyond, I'm sure, an interest in the possibility of playing football beyond Harvard?
Yeah. The goal is to go to the NFL. So I've been, hopefully, the way I've been performing, it'll look good for these NFL scouts, but we'll see.
Absolutely. Thor, a pleasure not only to have you join me here today and spend some time with me, but also for all the time that you've spent on the field and me attempting to describe what you've done out there. It's been a challenge for me, I want you to know. but I look forward to the opportunity to do it a couple of more times here, and hopefully with Crimson and triumph and success. And we hope that November 18th, when the clock runs out at the Yale Bowl, we will be talking about an undisputed championship team. That'd be a great end to the career, particularly you and your group, with what you went through from COVID to the Princeton debacle, the officiating debacle, and I think there'd be a certain poetic justice to it. And best of luck in getting there, my friend. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Bernie. Thank you for having me on.
Thor Griffith, our guest, our Crimson Profile, the senior defensive tackle, the mighty Thor from Portsmouth, New Hampshire, here on Inside Harvard Football.